I'm glad the cross is our Statue of Liberty. Amen. Don't ever get over it. Praise the Lord for it. The book of Esther, chapter 9, please. The book of Esther, chapter 9. I'll be honest with you. We're almost done with this book, and I'm kind of sad about that. What a book this has been. But it's always exciting about going to a new book. And they're all old books. Praise God for that. Amen. Thank the Lord for the Word of God today. It's why we're here, no doubt about it. Hey, how do you know you're saved? Because the Bible tells me so. How do you know there's a heaven? Because the Word of God says there's a heaven. How do you know Jesus is the only way to heaven? Because the Word of God tells us He's the only way to heaven. And we're excited about being a Christian today. And we know freedom is not free. You understand that statement, don't you? The freedom that we enjoy in America didn't come without a price. The freedom we have of being a Christian did not come free. It cost the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. The highest price that's ever been paid and ever will be paid. And yet it's the most effective price that's ever been paid. And that blood is still flowing freely today. Aren't you glad of that? Praise the Lord for it. Esther chapter 9. We'll begin our reading in verse number 1. Esther chapter 9, verse 1. Now if I fall asleep up here, somebody wake me up. Will you do that? I'm playing with you. Now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put into execution, in a day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. Verse 18. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled themselves on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th day thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and feasting, and a good day, and of sending portions one to another. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark three words in verse 19. It's my title, my topic, my theme, and my text today. It's the three words, a good day. A good day. Let's pray together. We share this thought with you. Father, help us today. May the will of God be done in our midst. Thank you for the freedoms that we have as a child of God. Now I thank you for the freedoms we have as an American. Thank you personally, Lord. I want to thank you for allowing me to be born in America. And I pray that you help us never to take for granted your working in our lives. Thank you for giving us this service. We want to give it right back to you. If somebody's lost today, I pray they will not leave the same way they came. And we who are saved, would you encourage us, strengthen us, help us today. Please help me to be forgiven today. May I be a clean vessel for you to flow through. And Lord, may you have complete liberty and freedom here today. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to chapter 9 in this book, we're reminded of what has just taken place. Queen Esther has interceded before the king for her people to be spared. The king then gives instructions. This is all in chapter 8. He then gives instructions to write another law to come along beside of the previous law of destruction in order to give the Jews hope of being saved. Mordecai has this particular decree written, and the work was done with great intensity and haste. The message was delivered to all the provinces in the languages of all the people. The throne that had once condemned is now protecting these dear people. Now, upon receiving this great news, the people had joy and gladness instead of sadness and gloom. In other words, what has taken place, if you remember the name Haman, he was the Jews' enemy. He encouraged the king to write a decree earlier in the book that there's a certain people, did not tell him whose people it is and what people it was. He encouraged him to give him authority to write a decree that all of those people be destroyed. The king does that. Then later on in the book, he finds out, the king, that his own queen is a Jew. She intercedes, and to make a long story short, Haman is hung on the gallows that he had built for Mordecai. But that decree that the king issues back in this day of the law of the Medes and Persians, if you will, it cannot be reversed. So even though Haman is dead, his plot is still alive. So Queen Esther goes in and intercedes before the king. He then basically says to her, I cannot overturn it, but I'll tell you what I will do. I'll give Mordecai the same authority to write another law that the Jews can defend themselves on that particular day. They hurriedly write this law, translate it into other languages, and get it all over the provinces. Now, there's where we pick up in chapter number 9. Now, as we come to this chapter, we see that the once dreadful day of destruction orchestrated by Haman has finally arrived. The Jews are still under a threat of being destroyed. But the decree has been, verse 1 says, turned to the contrary. The Jews gather themselves together in order to protect their lives. Now, what's going to happen? Will they survive? Will they make it? Now, as we consider these questions, I want to draw our attention to that phrase in verse number 19, a good day. When everything was said and done, the Word of God says for the Jews who were once under destruction, they have now been delivered, and they say, write this down, today has been a good day. And I'm going to tell you something. I want to look at that phrase today, a good day. And I want to give you three things about this day that made it a good day. Number one, it was a good day of release. It was a good day of release. Now, in verses 1 to 16, I'm not going to read it for time's sake. Matter of fact, I'm going to read it. I guess I will. I just took my word back right there. Let's just go ahead and read it. We've already read down through verse 2, pick up in verse number 3. And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and officers of the people helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces. For this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction and did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan the palace the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. And then he lists some of these right here. Skip down to verse number 10. The 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, slew they, but on the spoil laid they not their hand. By the way, before I keep going, let me just mention this right here. You'll notice it says they did not put their hands to the spoil. This tells you that they're not trying to get what they can. They're just trying to defend themselves. That's all they're doing, okay? Verse number 11. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan the palace was brought before the king. The king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace. And the 10 sons of Haman, what have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee, or what is thy request further, and it shall be done. Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according to this day's decree. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows, and the king commanded it so to be done. And the decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. For the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month Adar and slew 300 men at Shushan, but on the prey they laid not their hand. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies and slew of their foes 75,000, but they laid not their hands on the prey. Now, I don't know what you see here, but what I see a good day of release. Now, what I mean by that is this. In these verses, we see the Jews gathering themselves together in their respective cities as the people attack them in order to kill them. They simply defended themselves, and these enemies were delivered into the Jews' hands. We see that even the government officials helped the Jews at this time, verse 3. One reason for this was the exalted position of Mordecai, verse 4. In Shushan, the Jews destroyed 500 men, among which were the 10 sons of Haman. When the king asked Esther for any other request, she asked the king to allow the Jews to defend themselves the following day as well. That day, they killed 300 more men in Shushan. Elsewhere in the provinces, the Jews killed 75,000 people. Wait a minute. It's interesting to note that they were not on the offensive. They were on the defensive. which means that 75,000 people were still trying to kill the Jews. Now, this being the case, I want to bring some things out right here. In all of this, what we see is that this particular day, now on one day they killed so many, the next day they killed so many, but put yourself in whichever day that particular individual was, both of those days were good days. Now I'm going to tell you something. It was the day that the Jews were delivered from imminent death and destruction. It was certainly a good day. The Jews' D-Day had arrived. However, Mordecai had changed that D from destruction to deliverance. They were under condemnation, but were delivered and released from that into a life of joy. That, my friend, is a good day. You know, in the same way, all of humanity is under the condemnation of sin. And because of our sin, we deserve to die and burn in the lake of fire forever. However, praise be to the Lord God of heaven that Jesus Christ has come and he has died in our place so we can be released from that eternal condemnation and live in heaven with him for all eternity. We can be saved and released from the bondage of sin. Romans 8, 33 and 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. My friend, the day you trusted Christ as your Savior, it is a good day that you trusted Christ, because it's today when you were released from condemnation of sin and death and hell into a life of everlasting joy and peace and contentment, and you're going to see God for all eternity. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you, a good day. Why was it? Because it was a good day of release from destruction to deliverance. Number two, it was a good day of rejoicing and rest. We see this in verses 17 and 18. On the 13th day of the month Adar, and on the 14th day of the same rested day, and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. When this day was all over, the Bible tells us that they made it a day of feasting and gladness. This means, you can look it up, it means that they were rejoicing in what had happened on that particular day. The Word of God goes on to tell us that they also rested after this day of release. Now, folks, even though there were some people who had not been released on the 13th day and others were released on the 14th day, they both had a good day that ended with their rejoicing and ended with their rest from their enemies. Here's what I'm saying. Put yourself in the Jews' place, folks. I'm talking about for almost a year, if you will, they have known that this day is coming. God only knows the fear that was in the heart of the Jew. I'm talking about the anxiety. Oh no, I've got 9 months to live now. Wait a minute, now it's 8 months. And oh, can't you just imagine how quickly those days must have gone by? Scared and upset and afraid for their lives and their wives and their families, their children. Can't you just imagine the stress and the inner turmoil going on inside of them? And then that day came in chapter 8 when that message got delivered into their hands. That has been reversed and you can now stand for your life, but they still know that there's a battle to fight. And I'm telling you, they're fighting battles, but when the smoke is cleared, not one Jew, does the Bible say, was destroyed. Not one. Yet 75,000 enemies, and the Bible says all of their enemies were taken down. And finally, that day, whenever they looked around, and that person, I mean, can't you just imagine walking around, kind of walking like this, who's going to stab me in the back? Who's going to stab me in the back? That person's gone. Their enemies are gone. They're missing. They're not even in there anymore. They've been destroyed. And that heart that was troubled, and that heart that was turmoiled, and that heart that was perplexed, finally could go, whew. It's over. Anybody know where I'm going with this? Praise God. I'm telling you something, folks, right here. I'm saying that in this, the enemy had been overcome, and the Jews who are under death warrant for so long, they've been released, and they're enjoying rest, which in turn caused them to rejoice for what had taken place on that good day. I'm telling you, folks, in the same way. Man, I like that phrase right there. In the same way, when an individual receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the devil has been defeated and overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ. That person is released from condemnation, entered into the rest of the people of God, and the devil has lost his grip on that soul, and this rest will eventually end up in the eternal resting place with God in heaven. This should cause us who are saved to rejoice in goodness of God who saved our wretched souls. I'm telling you something. I'm getting sick of the devil. I'm getting sick of the world. I'm getting sick of the flesh. And there's coming a day when we're all going to be able to say, it's over. Aren't you looking forward to that day? Now, we have the rest of God in our heart. We have the peace of God in our heart. But we're still battling. Thank God if you're saved, you're not battling to get to heaven. Amen, because that battle was done at Calvary. But you know that there's a battle going on inside you. Even Paul said, the things I don't want to do, I do them. And the things I do want to do, I don't do those things. There's a battle raging. But can't you just imagine when you enter the streets of heaven? I'm talking about you walk through those gates. I don't come down here most of all, because now people can't see me probably who's watching, but they can hear my loud voice. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm a little bit excited this morning that I'm going to heaven, and someday I can sit down at the feet of Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, and rest and relax and rejoice in my salvation this morning. I'm telling you, it's a good day of release. It's a good day of rejoicing and rest. But it doesn't stop there. There's a third thing. You say, Jody, you're preaching hard. I'm trying to stay awake. Praise God. Hebrews 4:9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. One of the worst things I hate, and I don't like doing them, are funerals. One of the saddest things in the ministry is whenever you're sitting there and they call the family to come by the casket one more time. And they always have the preacher stand at the head of the casket. And I'm standing there, and I can't tell you how many times I've watched those precious people go by that casket and view their loved one's remains for the last time. And God breaks my heart. You know what? There's coming a day, and there's coming a place, there'll be no more caskets. That sounds pretty good right there. That's exciting right there. Aren't you looking forward to getting over there? By the way, who in their right mind would say no to all this? Who in their right mind, who may be listening to me right now, and in your heart you don't know for sure heaven's your home, can I say something to you? You're crazy. Blinded. Who would say no to a free gift who gives you peace and rest and contentment and satisfaction for all eternity? And when you turn that down, you end up in the burning lake of fire. If you're saved today, folks, you got a whole lot to be happy about. It's a good day of rejoicing. It's a good day of rest. But then there's a third and final thing. I'm not going to read this for time's sake. But if you're taking notes, it's verses 19 down to the end of the chapter, verses 32. Hey, it was a good day of release. It was a good day of rejoicing and rest. But number three, it was a good day to remember. A good day to remember. Now in these verses before us, we see that Mordecai instructed to keep the 14th day of the month Adar yearly as a good day of gladness, feasting, gifts to the poor, and sending portions one to another. You can read it later. This is all in there. This was to be kept in memory of the good day that the Jews were turned from sorrow to joy. They proceeded to name these days as Purim, after the name of Pur, which meant Lot. Remember what Haman did? He cast lots. He casted Pur. So they named this good day after that. Purim is the plural form of pur, which means lots. It's called Purim now in remembrance of Haman casting lots to carry out his evil plan, and yet they were delivered from this evil plot. The book Manners and Customs of the Bible says this, and I quote, "On the day of the feast, the people assemble in the synagogue where the book of Esther is read amid hand clapping and feet stomping." Wouldn't you like to see that? "These are intended to show contempt for Haman and joy for the deliverance of the Jews. After leaving the synagogue, there are great feasts at home. The Jews took it upon themselves and their seed to keep these days yearly." That's found in verse 27. "These days were to be kept," in verse 28, the Bible says, quote, "throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city." They were to be kept, in verse 28, and quote, "as a memorial from their seed." Esther then wrote to confirm Purim with the children and their seed. Now, folks, in all of this, we see that this good day of deliverance, I'm talking about the day that was supposed to be destruction and was turned to the contrary to deliverance, it was to be remembered for every year from then on. Along with this, the memorial of this day was to be given as a reminder to their children coming after them. They were to make sure that their children never forgot the good day that God delivered them from death, and they were to make sure that their children learned all about it. They were to make sure that they didn't forget it and that their children heard all about it. You know, folks, in the same way. Now, I understand that in the book of Esther, a direct interpretation, we're talking about physical life. Because the Jews today are blinded. They're looking for Messiah to come. We know where he's already been. We're looking for him to come the second time. Amen. So we understand that this is talking about physical death. And they, when they're talking about physical death, how they were delivered from destruction to deliverance here, they were never to forget that themselves and remind themselves on a yearly basis. On that day, they were to remind themselves when God delivered them. And they were to make sure that their children learned all about it. And then their children would keep it and tell their children and tell their children and tell their children. Folks, if they were to be reminded of that day, don't you think we should never forget the day when Jesus Christ delivered us from hell? I'm telling you something. That the day you got saved, the day you trusted Christ, by the way, if you haven't, if you're saying, "I don't even know what you're talking about," boy, you can before you leave today. Isn't that great news? We who are saved, the day we got saved, that was a good day. It was the day the Lord delivered us from our sin and set us free. It was the day he delivered our soul from hell and gave us heaven. It was the day he bought us off the slave block of sin and made us accepted in the Father's sight. Thank God for the good day he saved my soul. We should never forget the good day that Jesus Christ came in. We should make sure to remember what he's done for us. And on top of this, we should make sure our children hear all about how our God saved us and set us free. God, help us to set up our own days of Purim. You ought to set up a day of Purim around your house. Really, it ought to be every day of your life. But I'm talking about, let's remember what he's done for us. And let's tell those coming in our footprints. I want you to hold your place here. Matter of fact, you don't have to because I'm not coming back here, God willing. Flip back to the book of Exodus with me just a moment. The book of Exodus. You know one of the greatest Bible illustrations of this elsewhere than Esther is in the book of Exodus. And when we come to Exodus chapter 12, what is taking place? What great event's taking place? It's the Passover. Now the Passover is also a picture of salvation. This is the portion of Scripture where the Israelites were not exempt. He said, the death angel is going to pass through the land. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. They were to take the lamb, they were to strike the blood upon the doorpost, And when the death angel came through, when he saw the blood applied to the door, anybody who was identified by that house that was represented by the blood, the death angel passed over them. It's a picture of salvation. But talking about remembering it and giving it to others, look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Here's what God said. This is going back to Exodus now. The death angel's coming through. He's going to smite the Egyptians, but he's looking for blood on your homes. And when he sees the blood, he'll pass over you. He will not suffer the destroyer to come into that home. And then he goes on to say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to remember this day. I want you to remember it every year. And then he goes further and he says, when you come into the promised land, he's not even delivered them out of Egypt yet. When you come into the promised land, I want you to keep this service every year. And then when your children ask, what is this service? He said, you sit them down and you tell them, this is in remembrance of when our God delivered us from death. It is God's will for his children who have been saved by the grace of God, it is his will for us never to forget his salvation. The Bible says in the book of Peter that it is possible that somebody can forget that they were purged from their sin. Don't ever forget your salvation. And on top of that, if you have children, relatives, friends, co-workers, sit them down. Specifically children, because that's what the Word of God is teaching. But apply it to wherever you're at. If you don't have children, your co-workers, your family members, whatever. But if you have children, apply it there, because that's what the Word of God teaches. Sit them down. Make them curious. Get them to start asking questions. Make sure that there's things in the home. And make sure that you talk about things to where when your child starts getting old enough, they start saying, what does that mean? Daddy, you said you just got saved. What does that mean? Mommy, you're talking about being born again and you're talking about heaven and you're talking about hell. What are you talking about? Can't you just see those precious little faces? You know what God's saying? God's saying, just tell them what I did for you. That's all he's saying. He's saying, because what I did for you is what I want to do for them. Now I want to ask you this question. If you have children, do they know your testimony as well as you do? Do they know how you got saved? Have you set them down and explained to them, Mommy and Daddy got saved, blank, 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 blank. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm one of those people, and I hope I help somebody here. I can't tell you the day I got saved. I wish I could have. As far as I know, nobody wrote it down for me. I cannot point back and say it was October 19th, whatever. I know I was around the age of 9 years old. I was saved here at this church. Isn't that something? In the children's ministry at Buffalo Ridge. I'm saved. I'm born again, no doubt about it. But I cannot tell you the day it was. How many of you all are like that? Would you raise your hand? You're like that. I hope that just helps you. You know you're saved because you've trusted Christ, not because you can point back to a day. If you can point back to a day, praise God for that. Wonderful. I wish I could. I wish I could. Let me just help somebody right here. We had a preacher come through Bible college and they said, bless God, if you don't know the day and the hour and the moment and the second, you're probably lost. Tore me all to pieces. I went to Brother Kaiser. I said, Mr. Kaiser, I don't know the day. He said, Joe, let me ask you a question. I said, yes, sir. He said, were you born physically? I said, yes, sir. He said, how do you know that? I said, because of the evidence here today. He said, well, let me ask you this. How much of your physical birth do you remember? I said, I don't remember any of it. He said this. He really helped me here. Now, I am not slamming on those who know. I wish I did know. Everybody understand? Thank God if you know the day. I wish I did. But he helped me when he made this statement. He said, Jody, he said, you don't know you're saved because you point back to a day. He said, you know you're saved because of the evidence in your life today. I hope you understand what I just said. It's not by works. You listening to me? You don't work to get saved, but true salvation works. You don't work to get it, but you'll work after you get it. Amen. I hope I didn't confuse anybody. You don't work for salvation, but you'll work in it. I'm telling you, living faith will show and evidence itself, is what I'm trying to say. You show me somebody that can just go out and do anything they want to do, they can live it up, they can party and do all these kinds of, and never suffer the chastising hand of God. Never get spanked by God. That person is not a child of God. That is Bible. The book of Hebrews teaches it. I'm not trying to spread doubt. I'm trying to spread assurance. I'm trying to say this. Whatever day it is, whether you can point to it or not, the day you got saved, it's a good day. And it's a day to remember. It's a day that you make sure you don't forget it. And it's a day that you make sure your children are instructed in it and given the truth, and that they may get it and give it to their children, and they get it and give it to their children, and they get it and give it to their children. Now, let me bring this thing to a conclusion. And let me make sure I didn't confuse anybody. I'm simply trying to say I cannot point back to the day I trusted Christ, but I know I've been saved. I've asked Jesus Christ into my heart. I have. I know I have. No doubt about it. And there's evidence of it in my life today. And I'm simply trying to say this. Whether you can give the day or not, it's still a good day you got saved. And we ought to never forget it and make sure our children never forget it. Amen. Now, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 12 says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten. He was purged from his old sins. Now in this chapter, chapter 9, we see the day of potential destruction has turned into a day of wonderful deliverance. It is certainly a good day of release, rest, rejoicing, and remembrance. Let us learn the same about our salvation. I'm speaking to two kinds of people today. Those who have been saved. If that's the case, you ought to rejoice and rest that you've been released and constantly remember it. But if you're not saved and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, there was a time in my life when I wasn't saved either. And I'm begging you that there's a good day ahead of you. This day, July the 3rd, 2011, could be the day when you look back and say, that was the good day in my life. Will you trust Him today? Will you accept Him as your Savior? Will you say yes to Jesus? Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we love You today. We thank You for Your goodness. And I pray that You help us all to understand that there are those of us who have had that good day happen in our lives. And there may be others of us in here, others of those in here, who do not know that heaven is their home. Father, help us to do business with God. Help us to do business with You. Help somebody who may be lost to swallow their pride and see the good day of salvation is the day that no man should keep them from making that decision. Help us, Lord. Deal thoroughly with us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning just to play through softly. How many of you know for sure that heaven is your home? Whether you can point back to the day or you can't point back to the specific day, but you know like me that you know there's no doubt, you know you're saved, you're born again, you're a child of God. You know that D-Day in your life has gone from death to deliverance. You know He saved you. You've trusted Him as your Savior. Have you know that without a doubt? Would you raise your hand? You know that that's happened to you? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands right back down. Thank you. Is there one here today? Say, Jody, I cannot say that a good day of salvation, a good day of deliverance, a good day of being saved has happened to me. But I'll tell you this, I want it to happen to me. I don't have that assurance, but I want it. I want it. I'm not sure I've ever trusted Christ, or maybe you know you've never trusted Him, and you say, Jody, pray for me. I want to be saved. I want the good day to be today. If that's you, would you quietly at your seat, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Just slip it up, put it right back down. Anybody at all? I'm looking, my eyes are surfing. Not going to come to your seat, not going to call you out, not going to embarrass you. But is there one? Say, Jody, pray for me. I need that good day to happen in my life. Anybody at all? Would you raise your hand? Put it up in the air, put it right back down. Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. How many of you who raised your hand saying, I know I'm saved? How many of you have children? Would you raise your hand? You have children? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. I want to ask you this question. How many of you say, Jody, I'm saved? But the Lord is speaking to me about sharing my testimony better and more with my children. God knows I need to do that. Whether they're grown and gone out of the house, or whether they're infants, or whether they're 6 months old or 6 years old. Yes. Have you say, Jody, I need to do this with my children. God is speaking to me. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, God is speaking to me about sharing this with my children. Put it up big and high in the air. You say, Jody, that's me. I need to share this with my children. There are several hands. You can put your hands down. I'm going to invite you in just a moment to come and pray. You don't have to come to the altar to pray, but I'm going to invite you to come. Talk to the Lord about it. Ask God to give you the strength and courage and help and guidance to let your children know about the day of deliverance, the good day that happened in your life. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help us to take these thoughts. Would you help those who respond, who need to respond? Somebody needs to be saved, bring them. Somebody, Lord, who needs to let their children know, let them come. Help us to do business with you. Thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Graham is beginning to sing. If God's dealing with you, you leave your place and come as he sings. Come on, come on now. Come on now. Away from God. Now I'm coming home. Too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Playing through softly, if you're standing there, there may be one that's lost here with us today. Leave your place and come. Let us take a Bible. Lady with a lady, man with a man. We'll share with you how you can know the Lord as your Savior. Some of you might have your children in this service with you. Oh, it'd be great for you to go and grab your kids. Come to the altar and say, let's pray together. Let's pray together. I like to see families coming to the altar. You feel led to do that, I'm going to invite you to come. Why don't some of you dads take the lead? Take the lead. And say, honey, let's go. Let's find our daughter. Let's find our son. They're sitting right up there. Let's get up to the altar together. Let's pray together. Let's talk to God. Let's thank God for His day of deliverance in our life. Thank God for the good day in our lives. And let's make sure our children are with us when we do that. As Brother Graham sings, maybe you feel led to do that. Come on. Come on, families. Come on. Come on. Coming home. Bitter tears.
coming home.
Come on, families.
Coming home, coming home, evermore to roam. Oh, thine arms of love.
Let's take care of that. They're playing through softly. We're dealing with folks. There's still time for you. There's still time for you. No doubt about it. Folks are coming. Folks are responding. Praise the Lord for it. I want to give people time to pray, time to deal with people. Amen. Amen. Miss Annis is going to help you. And if you're still standing, you can look this way. We're tenderly dealing with some folks here. We're just about done. Now, you know when I tell you that, I'm lying to you, right? I'm kidding about that. But when we're dealing with folks, we want to deal tenderly. We want to help them, make sure they understand. Amen. This is Talena Greer. Talena, if you wouldn't mind to stand, Miss Judy can stand with you, and Miss Plumador, if she'd like. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. You already know that, but you desire to join our church by statement. So you have been scripturally immersed, correct? So she's coming by statement to our church. She wants to join our church. We're glad to have you. Could I get a motion that we receive her by statement? Brother Mark, second, Brother Plumador, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. Here's what we're going to do. We're tenderly dealing with folks and praying with folks. We're going to pray together, and I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind, if you're a visitor, to take your card out to the Welcome Center, and all of us, if you wouldn't mind, to graciously and quietly as you can, to leave the auditorium, and then out in the lobby, out in the parking lot, you can fellowship together, but we're graciously and tenderly dealing with the lady right here, and we want to make sure she understands, okay? Everybody understand? Hope you're with that. It's good to see some of you visiting back with us. God bless you. As long as you behave yourself, we'll let you stay, okay? You know I'm talking to you, don't you? Yeah, you pointed at me. That's good. Sure. Amen. Here's all I'm saying today. You say, then why don't you just say this and let us go then, right? Don't ever forget the day God saved your soul. And make sure that those in your household knows all about it. That's it. The Lord will be pleased with it. Amen. No doubt about it. Brother Scotty, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to be up here making sure that things are taken care of and so on. If you need to see me, you come forward and we'll help any way we can. Brother Scotty, sir, please. Pastor Shelton, I need to see you just a moment, if you don't mind, okay?